Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, this former backup catcher had one of the Mets' biggest postseason hits ever. He was also, of course, involved in one of the team's most dramatic playoff game endings. Apart from that, and he once had a very unique non-baseball job. Todd Pratt, welcome to Glad to Have Met You.
Hey, how you doing, Joey?
I'm doing great. Really appreciate a few minutes. So we'll get to the stuff that everybody's got to ask you about from your career in a moment, but I want to start with this, and I don't know how many people ask about this subject, Todd. You have got a great head of hair. I presume that having that helmet and mask on your head all those years obviously hasn't damaged it, right?
I guess not. I guess I got to think my mom about that. That's funny.
All in the genes, right?
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Something to be appreciated as we all get older. So
I hear you.
Gotcha. So now game four.
Yeah, I saw someone yesterday on social media say, where did Pratt go blonde? I want to answer, hey, blonde. That's silver. That's old.
Funny. So now we'll get to the obligatory questions. Game four, 99 divisional series against the D-backs at Shea. You're playing for the injured Mike Piazza. You hit the walk-off homer in the 10th off Matt Manti, sending the Mets to the NLCS. How often, especially when people see you and recognize you in New York, how often, even all these years later, do you get asked about that?
Oh, every time I'm here, and I appreciate it. It's just a great memory, not only for the organization, the team, but most support for the fans of New York, all the support they gave us.
To do that, Todd, under the brightest lights, with the biggest stakes, filling in for an injured star, I mean, that's got to give you a real confidence throughout the rest of your life, doesn't it?
Oh, I just think I had confidence in my work, and I was always ready for the opportunity. But, you know, you had someone better in front of you, which I was never bitter about. I just said, well, let me get my job done, and when I get called upon, I got to help the team out. So it all works out.
Game 5, 99 NLCS against the Braves at Shea. The Robin Ventura apparent 16th inning walk-off grand slam becomes the so-called grand slam single when you embrace him as he rounds the bases. Did you ever get to market that on a T-shirt or anything? Grand slam single?
You know, you're a smarter man than me. I should have. You know, I walked to get to tie the game, you know, first of all, not thinking I was going to pinch hit in that spot, but I get to walk, so, you know, the ground was going, and then, you know, as a big leaguer, you got little checks when you get to bases, but my check was, okay, base hit, we win the game, all I have to do is make sure I touch second. Well, when Robin hit the ball, I thought it was a line drive in the right center field gap, because when he hit home runs, he usually hit them high, but that has a different trajectory. I said, okay. With the weather and stuff, that's a double, but it doesn't even matter because only one run counts. So I just got on second and wanted to be the first guy to celebrate. He fist pumped, but after the game, he said, I wasn't fist pumping. I was trying to get your butt over to third base. Anyway, I grabbed him and made history. Not the history I wanted, but, you know, I still catch hell from Ventura, the guy.
Well, you led me right there into my next question. If you saw Robin right now at a ballpark somewhere in America, what would he say to you about that?
He'd probably say, what's up, Tank, first, you know. But then we'd start getting loose on each other. He'd just say, I'm glad you're still paying for that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And every time I talk to somebody, they bring it up.
Well, it's
but that's good. That's good. That's good fun.
Yeah, it is good fun, and of course, it is fondly remembered all these years later. How about, what was the main thing you'd say, Todd, you learned as Mike Piazza's backup?
The hard work it took for him to play every day. It took a toll on his body, and just watching him, I mean, it's amazing. I want to say I think the 17 game RBI streak. There's stuff like that I remember, you know, it was crazy. It might not have been 17, but I know it was up there. It was almost 2 weeks of guys getting RBI. You know what I mean?
Yep. How about playing 5 years each for the Mets and for the Phillies? As you look back, Todd, whose fans hate the other team more, Philly fans or Met fans?
Oh, I think that's equal. That's equal. It's tough, and especially bringing me up here when we're playing the Phillies. So there's some memories there. You know, I think I actually spent 7 years maybe with the Phillies, but they're both great cities. And that's all I can say. Both great fans. They just don't like each other, which is understandable. They're only right down a little train ride away.
The Turnpike rivalry. Couple other things before we let you go. Between baseball jobs in 96, you delivered pizza for Domino's. I mean, this is Wikipedia that I'm going off of, which, of course, isn't always reliable.
No, I worked there. The story there was in 96, I worked the summer. I was done with baseball. I had a newborn, and we had a little bit of savings through the Phillies World Series. And to be playing about 2 years before the strike. So I was ready to raise a son and do something different. So I worked Fuzzy Dead School of Baseball down there in Delray Beach, where I used to work out at, you know, in the off season. So I ran the camps all summer, and the guy that fed the campers every day asked me what I was going to do. And I said, I don't know. He said, well, work for me. I owe 20 Domino's pizza, you know, joint. He said, I have to start you in the bottom. You got to learn the business. But if you do this for a year, I'll make you a supervisor. And all you're going to have to do is drive my truck around, check my stores. I said, let's do it, you know.
Hey,
I was grinding. I didn't deliver any, but I'm the one that made them. You know, I was kind of like on-the-spot manager already. So I didn't drive my car. But basically had to open up around 9 in the morning and close around 2. So that was every day. So it was a grind.
I mean,
I was blessed the Mets called me back up. You know, they called me in 97, spring of 97. And he asked me if I wanted to come to spring training. That's this.
God bless me. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Now, when you get back in baseball after that gig, and of course, don't get me wrong, good, honest work for anyone that does it, but when you get back in baseball, Todd, any of the players ever bust on you and say, hey, where's our pizza?
No, not really, but a lot of fans. I just learned, hey, man, I love big good pie. What the heck?
How about anyone ever come into Domino's and say, wait a minute, aren't you the Grand Slam single guy?
No, because that was after.
Okay.
That was it. Yeah, you got the years.
Okay.
You know, that was
all right. We can't rewrite history here.
No, I hear you. It's all right to try, though.
How about easiest Met pitcher of the significant guys that you caught? Easiest Met pitcher to catch?
Oh, let me think about this one. They're all pretty easy. I mean, they're all pretty easy. I mean, it was a great staff. It's a hard question. I don't know if they were, you know, who was easiest.
How about hardest Met pitcher to catch? Maybe a guy who...
Glenn and Rush. Didn't Glenn and Rush pitch the Mets?
Sure. Lefty?
Yeah, he was good. I love catching him because he had the nice straight changeup. You know, I always thought of him as the poor man, Glavin. So he was pretty easy. He was spot on. I knew I was going to have a great day with the changeup. And I love catching Leiter, but Leiter had work. I had to work for him. But I love catching him, and I think I caught a lot of games for him.
Al Leiter.
Yeah.
Wow, calling Glendon Rush the poor man's Tom Glavin. That's high praise for Glendon Rush, no?
Yeah, well, he was good. You know, he had a good career. And I remember I just straight changeup, lefty. Spotting. I really thought he was good. I had good times catching him.
How about a harder guy to catch that was maybe because of whatever he threw or what have you?
Well, Al Leiter was tough. That's what I was kind of saying before. Al Leiter was tough. Mike Hampton with all the movement, you know. I mean, and obviously Billy Wagner, you know. He's,
Boy, those are three great pitchers right there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've been blessed to talk to a lot of good pitchers. So, Leiter, you better be on your game. Catch him with that 93-mile-an-hour cutter. It was heavy.
Indeed. Last question. You managed this year for the Jupiter Hammerheads, Marlins Class A team in Florida. Yeah. Tell me about managing them and essentially working for Derek Jeter, right?
Yeah, I just, it's opportunity. It's my third year, and I'm really loving it. Just like anything in baseball, nothing's ever secure, so you just gotta grind out there every day and hopefully do the job.
Well, Todd, you
really
are
coaching the young men.
Well, it seems to be going well. Todd, thanks so much. You are obviously etched in Met history. Keep up the great work with the managerial duties, and continue to maintain the great hairline, will you?
I hear you, brother. Thank you so much.
You got it. Bye-bye.